30 minutes or so, absolutely no agenda, and working on the second glass of whatever. That's when the evening gets interesting, when the stories and thoughts just come, like a work week too full that tips over, and the pent-up laughter pours out. These are the unguarded thoughts and opinions, the anecdotes and antics, the conversations that just plain happen on a Thursday night, when you're two beers in. Now, here are the hosts of Two Beers In, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Because our friend Monica is not here.
Well, I have something I need to correct from my first.
You've been holding on to something?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you weren't earlier.
Yeah, I know. I when it's all red, that lets you know.
I wasn't looking at your screen.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's very kind of you.
Also, my glasses are on the table, so it wouldn't have mattered if I was looking at your screen.
You're like, yes, it's blobby and red. That's all I need to know.
I can now see that there is red on your screen. I assume that's a screen.
That is a screen.
Forgive my voice. I don't know what happened. I do know what happened. I had a random house guest yesterday, and I ended up sleeping on the couch downstairs where it's drafty. So
okay.
I snored in the cold air. And
sure. And got caught a thing. Just a little thing.
I don't think I caught a thing. I think I just snored cold air and made my throat tired.
Anyone listening, you're listening to Two Beers In. I am your host, Brett Weaver, here at the Aristocrat Lounge on Burnett Road. Usually you would hear Monica Ballard pitch in with, she is also the host, and what drink she's having. But Monica is doing a private tour with the Austin Ghost Tours
cool.
this evening. And I just got back from Japan, and I know I needed to at least put one episode in the can.
I am dying to hear about Japan.
I will try to space it out here on the show, but offline, I will tell you way more.
Awesome.
There's a lot of good stuff that happened.
I spent almost a month on the road doing IT work for conferences, medical conferences.
And here I was going to introduce you, Chad, as person who's walked away from the IT world to do technical.
I will explain what the job is if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so.
Oh, wait, first of all, what are you drinking?
This, I bought two of them because they're about to go away. It's a summer beer.
Ah.
It's called Live Oaks Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, very good.
It's a summery kind of, it's my friend, I have a friend who does beer as a lifestyle.
Wow. I didn't know you could do that. I thought that was called being an alcoholic or being a Supreme Court justice.
This guy's less rapey. His name is Isaac Harrigal. He's one of the beer nerds at Bangers.
Okay.
He and I got involved in a show called Geeks Who Drink. Geeks on Tap.
Oh. He's different things.
No, it is two different things. Geeks Who Drink, we were trying not to copy them.
Okay.
I was in it for a little while as a background tech player, and he's the host.
Oh, okay.
And they tour breweries in Texas and talk about them, and it's awesome.
Wow. A little bit kind of what we do here during Christmas time.
Yeah. So that's how I found Jester King and Live Oak and some other places that I wouldn't ordinarily. I'm typically Lone Star Shiner.
Yeah.
You know, Shiner for fancy days.
Yes. When you're feeling like a fancy lad.
And then I discovered that there are small batch beers that I like.
Yeah.
I'm not an IPA fan.
Neither am I.
I don't like cilantro. It's the same, for the same reason. It's
all soapy tasting.
Did you know cilantro is actually, no, it's hops that are actually, never mind.
No, go.
It's a piece of information that's wrong in my head that I just realized and needed to stop.
Oh.
Before I said something fucking stupid.
Are you going to be doing a lot of corrections? Is that what's going to happen here?
Maybe today's my correction episode since nobody's here to contradict me.
This will be the correction episode.
Oh my God. If we get started and I get drunk, I will end my own comedy career today.
You'll only have two beers. So you can't get, I mean.
Yes, but you know that two beers is my drunk limit.
Oh, okay. No, I did not know that.
I was raised Baptist and I still have that alcoholic threshold.
Wow.
Yeah, two beers is nothing for most people. For me, I should wait an hour before driving.
I made a Baptist joke in Japan that EK really liked, and I, darn it, I wish I would have remembered it. It had something to do with just it was about people going into the weird section. No. That's what it was. She was at a doujinshi, which is a fan made comics about anime shows or manga, and a lot of the times they're naughty. And she was.
So it's drawn. It's cartographic slash fic.
Yes, a little bit. Yes, but it can really be anything. But a lot of the times it's. Lots of dicks. But in this case, she was at a place where there was 50,000 people at the Tokyo Big Sight to do these exchanges. And she said, yeah, they come in, they get their stuff, they get out of there. It's not like a place where they all hang out. I was like, oh, so it's just like Baptist at a liquor store.
Yes, precisely.
And we got a good laugh for that. So anyway... you were talking. Well, no, we've talked about the beer, and you realized that you like the Berliner Weiss and the smaller batch.
Yeah, it's regarded as a Kinder Weiss.
Kinder, yes.
Children's beer.
Yes,
because it tastes like beer with lemonade.
Yes,
because mostly it's beer with lemonade.
Yes, I've actually had a Kinder Weiss in Germany, and they were looking at me funny when I ordered it. Yeah. I was like, what? I'm an American. I don't do anything right, so it's okay.
So I like this. And it's going away because it's a summer beer.
Sure. And here I am drinking Cellus White, which is fairly close to that right there.
I haven't had it. It's a
Belgian-style wit beer. So it's a little bit like the Weissen. And it still has that little bit of the citrusy flavor. But it's not like lemonade. It's cool. Just got that in there. I think this is the most we've ever talked about beer on
this
show.
It's possible. So, you know, I had a roommate.
Yes.
That's changed.
Okay.
Which is a big story for me. But so I used to walk my roommate's dog a lot.
Love that dog.
Because I loved that dog.
Yeah.
And I still do, but I will never see him again if I'm lucky. Because it would mean seeing her again.
And things went weird.
So bad.
Okay.
So bad.
I'm not going to say that I didn't expect that, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Everybody around me knew that it was coming. They just didn't know that I would dig my own hole.
Oh, there you go. Good job.
I used to walk the dog, and there was one morning where I was... Have you ever pulled a Brian Regan? He has that joke, and I'm stealing from Brian Regan, but I'm crediting him, so
yes,
we'll take it.
It's not stealing.
He's at the airport. He's buying a ticket to fly somewhere. He pays for the ticket. The lady says, hey, have a nice flight. And he says, you too.
You too.
She's not going anywhere. So what you don't know about this dog is he's half Arctic wolf.
Oh, God.
Literally a walking white fluffy cloud.
You've got a dire wolf is what you're talking about.
Only 65 pounds. He's not like a giant timber wolf.
No.
But he's an Arctic wolf.
He would look like a puppy on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Okay.
He could have been used as a puppy. Yeah. And my house was a snowdrift. I would vacuum every week and it would still be...
Sure.
Covered. And still,
it's like you go, this is my life now.
She's been out of the house for 2 months or so.
Oh, wow.
And... he's only been out of the house a month, but she's been gone. And I vacuumed when they left, and there's still dog hair coming out of the cracks every time the door opens.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Anyway, I'm walking this dog one morning, 5:30 in the morning. It's an early morning. I'm very tired.
Yeah.
A lady in my neighborhood is jogging. She's very attractive. She stops me and says, oh, my God, what a beautiful dog. And I said, you too. She was not walking a dog.
No, she was not.
At the time.
So you just gave her a compliment.
That she was a gorgeous dog, yes.
Well, that she was also gorgeous.
A beautiful dog.
Okay.
Yes. Here's the thing about walking dogs professionally, which I used to do. I used to dog sit before this dog came and destroyed my house.
Sure.
Anybody who's walked dogs professionally knows that if you have a back injury or just don't feel like picking up poop today, you can stop at a convenience store, get two big Tootsie Rolls, put them in the bag, and carry them around like you have already done the dog's duty for the day. hey, is that your dog? No, no, I've got mine.
I got mine.
I have mine right here. And then you can wave the bag
at. Yeah, but then they look at the bag and they're like, you've got a Great Dane.
Yes.
There needs to be a bigger load in there.
That's why you get the big Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, I see. I see. Maybe Baby Ruth's, I was thinking.
Oh, no, the giant Tootsie Rolls.
Sure.
Soften them up a little, fold them over, and then it looks more...
That it takes planning.
I have spent some time thinking about this.
I'm saying.
Here's the thing. What most people don't know is you can walk that dog by the elementary school in your neighborhood at recess and eat the Tootsie Rolls.
And gross out the kids.
And those kids will stay the fuck out of your yard. And I say that because I know nobody's coming to my house for Halloween.
No, no one is. You're not going to get the... See, and we, EK and I, are of the childless couple variation where we get the good candy.
Yeah.
You know, I will admit that I do, when the teenagers show up, I do make them sing the song. I was like, I'm sorry, you got to sing the song. You're not even in costume.
What is the song?
Trick or treat.
Smell my feet.
Give me something good to eat. Yeah. If you don't, I don't care. I don't have no underwear. That's the...
I haven't heard the refrain.
Conclusion of that stanza. So yeah. And but we are always very... We're not like loading them up, but we're giving them... Whatever they're getting, it's good.
Good.
Yeah. And we've learned to keep Typo away from the front door.
Yeah, well.
Because then he's causing... Like, no, that's not how we're doing this. So
he's adorable.
He is.
Did I tell you I started a death metal proofreading service?
No.
Yeah, it's called Typo Negative.
We're going straight to the jokes? Is that what we're doing now?
I'm just
going
to pepper them in as they come to me.
Julie Lenard, who has been here before... was going to...
Who knows very well that I've had a crush on her since the moment we met.
She, there we go. But you are an easily crushable guy.
Is that your way of saying I have low standards? Because...
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that you're easily affected. That's what I'm saying.
It's a problem.
Yeah. We'll get you there. Because... Well, never mind. But she was... originally, we were going to set up to have her come out tonight, and I thought that maybe this wasn't going to happen, and so I said, you know, it looks like it's probably not going to happen, but then I saw that Austin, our general manager and bartender
yes.
Had actually put on the Facebook page that we were going to record tonight, and then that was... After Monica had told me, no, I've got a tour. So that's why I'm here without Monica. And I'm realizing how much I lean on her.
Yes. Right. Well, Monica has that X number of years history of being a DJ. And
yeah.
She is unstoppable with a microphone.
Well, and I can do it. But it's one of those that I know, I realize that I've been leaning on her long enough to where I'm like, because whenever she watches me go, I do a thing where I'm like, okay, and she goes, okay, I'll pick up. So it's, which we're doing fine now. It was just something that
I'll watch more carefully.
No, we're totally okay. So Japan,
tell me about Japan.
I'm going to tell
Did
you.
Did you make it across Shibuya Crossing without getting hit?
We went across Shibuya Crossing and there was no problems.
Okay.
It's all very orderly.
Oh yeah, no, it's.
I had to deal more with the anxiety of such large crowds coming off trains and coming straight towards me.
Yes.
It was, you know, I was like, this is something I'm having a problem with. And I went hashtag South by Southwest. But it was good. It was fantastic, in fact. We had such a good time. And we did not do the prearranged package where there are people taking us place. We're like, let's go over there and see what's over there. So one of my favorite things, I have so many favorites, but one of the really good things that happened is the night before we left from Tokyo to come back, we were there 2.5 weeks, not in Tokyo, but in Japan.
Yeah.
But the night before we came back, we went to Shinjuku, which is like where the love hotels are and upscale places and all kinds of stuff that's there.
As a huge fan of anime, I can confirm.
Yes.
That is the place where you go to date high school girls who get paid to be there.
Yes. Well, we didn't notice that. But what we did notice was going to... It ended up, I wanted to go to a place that I thought was going to be very interesting for us. And the Google Maps routed us through an area that was even more interesting than the thing we were heading to.
Cool.
It was this place called the Golden Guy.
It is all about the journey.
G-A-I, Golden Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in this place, within a four-block radius, was about 400 bars that were one in just two-story buildings that you would walk along, and you would look, and there would be like a six-seat bar.
Yeah.
And each bar had a different theme. Some of them you couldn't go into because we were American. Some you couldn't go into because you weren't a regular. Some charged a cover fee, which I thought was strange. I'm like, you want me to give you $10 to come into a place and it's just us? That doesn't make sense to me. But it was an interesting thing because we just found this thing and wandered through.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. There was one bar.
It's like a theme park for bars.
Very much. But very homegrown. It was not something... This looked... What it reminded me of was a book series that I read when I was younger called the Thieves' World series.
Oh, okay.
And in Thieves' World, there's like that area, and this was like that. But not scary at all. It was a little run down, but very interesting. And there was one bar that said no suspicious people. So we were like, okay. But then there was an upstairs place that pointed up and it said slightly suspicious. So of course we went up there. We were like, what are you talking about? And it ended up there was like a couple of a lady from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There's four Germans and two Japanese people, and then the bartender. And I mean, and you had to jam yourself in just to sit down in the place. And they were like, oh. And so they had, the walls were covered in little notes that had been drawn. People, you know, the bartender had encouraged people to write something and go stick it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So the wall was covered with all these different things.
Yeah.
And so EK did a TJ and Amal sketch.
That's awesome.
And put it on the wall. And the Germans saw this and they were like, okay, why are you guys here? You know, that's what we got a lot of in Japan. Now, why are you here? Like, for work? No. We were just coming for vacation. You're an American that's coming. Yes, it's okay. So
you don't work for IBM.
No,
you're not here.
I'm not trying to get any.
It's not a Samsung thing.
No, you know what we said.
Which would be Korea.
What we said. Yeah, that's right. What we said mainly was we don't have fall leaves in Texas. So we thought we would come here because we've heard about the maple trees and how they change. And yes, it was absolutely beautiful. But while we're in this bar, and the German guy sees EK's drawing. Wow, she's really good. Yes, she is really good. No, I mean, like, she could be a professional. I go, she's a Harvey Award winner and was nominated for an Eisner. And they're like, oh. And then the guy goes, will you draw a picture of us for free? And EK just gets the dead look inside. And I just went, you know, she's a professional artist. And he goes, he says, I realize what I'm asking now, and I apologize. But I have to ask again what you said. EK goes, look, I'll do a 2-minute sketch. I don't know how good it's going to be. I'm like, stop that.
And she just knocked it out of the park.
Right. And they were like, look at this. So, yeah, we did that. We went to a bar called the Lonely Bar, which was, there's this 60s manga anime called Fighter Joe.
Fighter Joe.
Yeah, he's a boxer.
Yes.
And it's like...
I'm vaguely familiar.
Okay, so this bar was covered with Fighter Joe memorabilia.
Like action figures and posters and the whole nine yards.
Yes. And he was playing like cool late 80s music.
And there's an argument that that genre doesn't exist.
Well, I would argue Peter Gabriel.
Okay, no, you're right. Okay. I take that back.
Yeah. We went in and sat down. There was nobody else there. It was just us. And it was another one of those eight seats. Mm. And so we're just kind of looking around, just being amazed at this master level memorabilia thing. And there is a signed glossy from MGMT, the band MGMT.
All right.
And I was like, MGMT has been in this bar? And he goes, oh, not only that, but Franz Ferdinand and somebody else. He's like, oh, yeah, they've got, I'm like, that's awesome. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he pulls out a VHS tape and puts it in the player and plays, and it's a interview with them, with Franz Ferdinand talking about, oh, yeah, our favorite bar is in the Golden Guy called the Lonely Bar. And
that is awesome.
Yeah. And that was such a good time.
So who's Franz Ferdinand? I don't. I'm just kidding.
He was
Let
killed.
It go.
Okay.
Stop.
Started World War II.
Yeah. So. The sinking of the Franz Ferdinand is what kicked off World War I.
No, it was when Chamberlain let Franz Ferdinand be killed.
Take back the Sudetenland.
Yes, that's what. What? Now we're rappers? Is that what just happened?
Oh, my God. You know who did pass away today?
Who did?
Tony Joe White.
I don't know who that is.
Poke Salad Annie.
Still, I think I need to do some research. Was this a comedian?
No. Yeah, he was. He's the sort of the grandfather of Swamp Rock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, how old was he?
75.
Okay, good run.
It was a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote songs for Elvis, Tina Turner used to do a couple of his songs. There's another one I can't remember, but yeah. Just people I would say his music influenced me, but it's the one song, Poke Salad Annie, and okay. I'm a terrible person for not knowing more of his discography.
So, is it corrections?
Yeah.
You were saying you had a correction.
Oh, so the first time you interviewed me, the first time we did the show, uh-huh. I went on a tirade about improv.
Did you?
Yes. I railed on how much I hate improv comedy.
What was my defense? How did
you didn't?
I didn't.
Didn't
I stand just up let for it improv. Roll.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I decided to face my fears.
Give it a shot.
And I started taking improv classes at the Institution Theater here in Austin with Tom Booker.
Sure.
And all of his fabulous teachers.
Yeah.
And I am on my 601 second class this week. Last night was my first class because I missed for being out of town.
Sure.
For the job. And I like improv comedy.
You're getting it.
I get it.
Yeah. There's difference. Frustrations. There are definitely frustrations with
it.
Yeah,
there are.
But I think that the main part that I have to learn is getting with the group to where we can just work.
You know
what
drives
work.
The thing that drives me nuts the most? Mm. They call it improv foot. Like, I had an idea, but then I didn't do it. And right. I had an idea, and I didn't do it.
Right.
9 times out of 10, I'll come up with an idea that I think is great, and I'll sit on it just a minute too long, and then somebody else in the group will say word for word what I was planning on saying.
Amazing.
So it was a good instinct, and their gambit will always pay off, it seems like.
Right.
So it was a good instinct, but I failed to execute.
But as a stand-up, you know you sometimes gotta fail.
Yeah.
You gotta throw it out there and go, okay, that didn't work. And that's the trick of improv, is you can't go, okay, let's go back and let's try this again.
Yeah.
You have to go, okay, learn from this failure so that I can
so
do it
the next
better
time
next
that
time.
This never happens ever again in this instance.
But you never know.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
People build acts off of their improv comedy because improv allows for the unexpected to happen, and that's where real comedy can be found.
Right.
Because comedy is what's unexpected. That's the thing about stand-up, is that you have to have a conversation for the first time with an audience every fucking time you do it. You tell the same joke 1,000 times, it has to be different 1,000 times, so that's when you get to the economy of words, so that you can say the fewest number of things and give yourself the most opportunities to expand.
Yes.
To let other things happen.
Yeah. So, as a person who's not 20 and tall and beautiful, much like me. How's it?
But you are beautiful. How's
that working? How's that working out?
I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's all that's important.
Yeah.
I notice that people who are younger are sometimes confused when I come out and kill it. Because that's, I did that a few times where I would come out and I'm kind of quiet, which I never am.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing improv with a group, I've learned to lay back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to. It's just like doing this show. It's just like doing panels at conventions. I never want to be the guy that's hogging the mic.
Yeah.
But
when you do take up, you want to hit with a stinger.
Yeah. And not just steal the limelight, but just say, now it's my part that I'm going to work with everybody, and hey, let's all do it together.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about improv in general. The thing that I would like to take to the next level is not just improv where people are talking.
Yeah.
But being able to be in a group that is experienced enough that that they know when to have quiet and let the scene sit and let it grow through emotional connection, not just talk.
That's actually an exercise that this particular group focuses on.
Is that 601?
No, that was in like 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we like class 3, I think, with, might have been with Kenny. Your exercise, the first exercise you do is have a scene for 30 seconds before anybody talks.
Yes. My favorite bit that I've seen from that was my friend Rhett Butler, who lives here. He's a friend, and he's from Lafayette too. But they did a scene where they're like, "Okay, we're going to hold for 30 seconds. Don't do mime or anything. Just exist in it for 30 seconds,
yeah.
And then go." And they did, and it was very much just him reading the paper. And her kind of straightening up, and then
you're about to do the classic thing of trying to tell an improv scene after it happens.
No, the director indicates it's time to go, and she says, "Oh, honey, I just thought." And he goes, "Oh, we're talking now." And that was just beautiful. It was beautiful. I laughed. I was like, "That was fantastic." Oh, yeah. We're talking now.
We're laughing together.
Yes.
It's hilarious. Let's see. So, yeah, improv is a thing. And it's not terrible.
No.
So that's different from the first time I interviewed with you.
Yeah.
Or had this conversation.
That's true.
I'm trying to think what else. You went to Japan.
Yes.
While you were in Japan, I was experiencing my first road gig. I've been on the road for most of the last 30 days. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's sort of IT. This is a job. I go to a medical conference because they've all been medical conferences
far. Yes. You were starting that before we left.
Yeah. So medical conferences have a lot of money, and they want their speakers to be as prepared as possible.
Yes.
But they also, by and large, collect all of the presentations that people do and sell them as a continuing education package later.
Makes sense.
So what you do is you set up a place called the Speaker Ready Room.
Okay.
It's got a bunch of computers and a projector and a TV or a monitor of some kind. And speakers specifically, obviously, can go in there and practice their presentation, go through their PowerPointers or...
Just a warm-up.
Prezi. Yeah, to make sure that the videos play and all the stuff works, whatever.
Makes sense.
And then they upload their stuff so that it's present in the room at the time, because most conferences run some kind of presentation management software.
Nice.
At which point they have turned over their speech as a collected document according to what they signed to be paid as a speaker. So now the company has collected that information and can resell it. And the speaker is prepared to move on to is more prepared.
He's gonna do his hour and then start building a new year.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's stand-up comedy for doctors.
Yes.
Who are not funny.
No.
So the first one I did where I found out about this job was the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology.
I had to watch
a lot of surgery videos to make sure that they played correctly in the PowerPoints. I'm not going to make jokes about that. It's an incredibly important show.
Sure.
I learned a lot. I was humbled constantly by the amount of care and how much emotional investment these medical professionals have in women's rights,
yes,
in women's health. On the other hand, the phrase I will never be able to get out of my head is the phrase unusual clitoral mass.
Is that a Catholic thing?
No, but it does have an attendant surgery video, which is also burned into my skull.
Yeah,
for the rest of my life.
All I could see you doing is watching this thing, and the doctor's standing there, and you're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Oh, there's more? Oh, no.
That's not what happened. She turned to me and said, I'm so sorry. And I said, if I wasn't prepared for this, I wouldn't have taken the job.
Yeah, that's true. You're so professional. I'm not.
The next conference I did was the American Urology Conference, except I got stuck in pediatric urology.
Oh.
Totally different set of surgery videos.
Yeah.
Most of which I avoided watching, which was awesome.
Yeah.
There was one conference that was anesthetologists, nurse anesthetologists.
Okay.
There's a big dividing line between anesthesiologists and nurse and the anesthetologist. I need to drink more beer because I can still say those
to
words.
To me, that you can say that. Yeah. I can't even say it and I'm sober.
So skip that. The next thing I did was the American Association of Reproductive Medicine. So it was kind of like the genitals tour of 2018.
It's the dick tour.
This is my life. I go into this room. You have to be charming for 12 solid hours a day. So you've got your basic setup stuff. I need to take this laptop to that room, make sure it connects to the network, make sure that it can present, it goes to the screen, it does all the stuff, it connects back to the software. That's the first day of the job, getting this stuff set up. Everything else is, hi, welcome, thank you for coming in. How can I help get you started? Okay, you're going to want to log in with your email address that you normally interact with the association on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more than one? Okay, that may be a problem later. We'll get to that in a minute. There's a default password. It's going to be the association name 2018, all caps. That'll get you logged in. And if you have any issues, just come find one of us.
Right.
Because then I also have to manage a crew of locals and make sure that they didn't smell bad, brush their teeth before they got to work. I carried mints constantly.
Jesus.
Because you have to talk to doctors.
Yeah.
This close all the time. No, let me log in for you. You're right there.
Yeah.
It was good. I had fun. The day rate's pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't got paid for any of it yet because it's all net 30. But that's fine.
It's better than net 90.
I agree.
By the way, net 30 means 30 days out.
Yes, 30 days from the close of the show.
Yes, and net 90 means basically a quarter.
Yeah. We'll pay you at the end of the quarter.
Yeah. What do we got? Well, look at us.
Did we get to half an hour?
We got to half an hour. It's that easy.
I'm glad I didn't have to talk about any of the real personal stuff.
No, we'll get offline and have another beer and talk about
that.
Okay,
sure. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I know you miss Jessica. We'll just get that out of the way. And
I get to see her online.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
She clicked like on a joke I made on her page.
They makes you happy.
I sound like a terrible person.
You're not a terrible person.
I'm not.
No, she's a terrible person, but...
Maybe that's what I love
about
her.
I'm hoping she's listening, so she'll just call me up and go, hey!
She'll be listening in a month when you get this online.
That's right.
Maybe.
My release times are a lot shorter now.
Well, that happens when you get older.
Because
I went to the American Urology Conference.
Yes. I've seen 6 videos that talk just about this thing.
Oh, I have like a phrase, my favorite phrase from every show. In American Urology, my favorite phrase was epididymal blowout. It is exactly what it sounds like.
And with that... You've been listening to Two Beers In. I'm Brett Weaver. I've been drinking a Cellus White. I also had a frozen Moscow Mule.
Yeah.
It's the best Slurpee ever. And Chad here is with us. Chad, you have been drinking the...
Live Oak Berliner Weiss.
Yes.
Berlin-style sour Weiss beer.
Yes. We just want to let you know that you can listen to us on iTunes, on Google Play, also on is it Stitcher? I think I'm on Stitcher too. I do this every single time that I talk about this. I'm like, Stitcher?
Yeah, Stitcher.
Yeah.
Brought her, you Stitcher.
Yeah. And
funnier at a medical conference.
You can also come listen to us at weightlesspod.com for all your weightlesspod dot needs. I don't know. And please come visit us here 6 o'clock on Thursdays at the
fabulous Aristocrat Lounge
in Austin, Texas on Burnett Road. So until you hear from us again, I'm Brent Weaver.
And I'm Chad Warren.
And we'll see you next time.